My dearly beloved in Christ, today is the second most important feast day of the entire church year, because it was on Pentecost Sunday that the apostles first began to go forth and fulfill the mission that Christ had given them to preach the gospel all over the world, to spread the faith. Of course, you know that the feast of the resurrection of our Lord, Easter Sunday, is the greatest feast. But again, this takes second place before all other feast days, and it is referred to as the birthday of the church, because it is the day on which the church first began to grow and spread. And you can read in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles about the first sermon that St. Peter gave. First sermon recorded, given by St. Peter, in which he rebuked the people for having put to death the Messiah. But then he softened the blow by saying, "I know that you did it through ignorance. You did not know that Jesus was the Messiah, and you followed your leaders, but now repent and be baptized." And on that first day, there were 3,000 souls that were baptized, entered the church. So again, it is the birthday of the church, and it is a fitting day for us to reflect upon the catechism teachings on the church. What do we mean by the Catholic Church? What is it? Well, the church is defined in the Catechism as the society of all believers who are united in the same faith and have been baptized and under one authority with the same Mass, the same sacraments. So that is what makes us Catholics, members of the church. We are baptized. We hold the faith, the Catholic faith. We do not deviate from the teachings of the church. We have the same Mass and the same sacraments. Now, when we speak of the church, we know that Christ founded only one church. And why did he found a church? To lead us to heaven. Because it is in the church and through the church that we have the sacraments, that we have the explanation of the proper understanding of the meaning of the Gospels, what our Lord taught, the true faith. And it would be senseless to think, it would make no sense to think that someone could say, "Well, I'm not interested in accepting the church that Christ founded. I think I'll just skip that." To think that someone could willingly reject the church or fail to enter it, how can that person save his soul? If the Son of God came down into this world and suffered and died on the cross for us and founded a church, then we can't just take it or leave it. We must enter that church that Christ founded. And there is only one. Jesus said to St. Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." He didn't say my churches, my church. And of course, there is only one church that carries on the work that Christ established with the apostles, that teaches everything that he taught, and so forth. And we know that is the Roman Catholic Church. But for someone who is not a member of this church, how can he find the church? Well, there are several ways to go about it. One would be what I call the historical method, meaning which church historically has existed ever since the time of the 12 apostles and has carried on down through the centuries. And of course, that is only the Catholic Church. Other churches, you can say when they began. This church was founded by this person in this year, and so forth. But only the Catholic Church traces its history back to Christ himself. But we also can identify the true church by the signs, what we call the four marks that characterize the church that Christ founded. And we find these signs or these marks in the Gospels, where our Lord spoke about his church. He said there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So there's the mark of unity and so on. We could go through the four marks. But the four marks of the church are one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Unity, holiness, Catholicity, universality. So we look to the institutions that claim to be Christian churches, claim to be teaching what Christ taught, to believe in Christ, and which ones have these four qualities, or which one? And of course, there is only one. Now, briefly, to go through the four marks, unity means that the faithful are united in the same faith. You can go to another country and meet traditional Catholics, and they believe the same things you believe. In fact, there is not only a unity of doctrine, but there's also a social unity, by which we mean that there are bonds that unite us with Catholics all over the country and throughout the world. And when you meet other faithful Catholics and you get to know them, you find that there is this kinship, this bond that unites you to them even more so than to relatives who are not members of the church. They're your blood relatives, but if they don't share the same faith, there is that division. Whereas with fellow Catholics who believe the same faith, we find a bond uniting us with them. So that's the first mark of the church, unity. We have one teaching, the same doctrines, the same mass, the same sacraments, and the same authority, that of the papacy, down through the centuries. The second mark is holiness, and that's an important one to understand, and for that reason I want to come back to it after briefly addressing the third and fourth marks. Catholicity, the church is Catholic, meaning universal. Jesus founded his church for all men. He said to the apostles, go forth and teach all nations whatsoever I have taught you. It is not just for a particular race, a particular ethnicity, a particular locality. Anyone who wishes to enter the church founded by Christ may do so. So it is universal. And it is also apostolic because, again, it traces its history back to the apostles themselves and still teaches the same things that the apostles taught 2,000 years ago. But what about the second mark, holiness? We must understand this properly, because sometimes non-Catholics think that we have a better-than-thou attitude just because we are members of the church Christ founded. Well, the Catholic Church is holy, but that doesn't mean that every member of the church is automatically holy. What it does mean is that we have the teachings that lead to a life of holiness if we apply them to our lives. And we have the sacraments, the means of grace, and the mass. And thus, the church has produced holy members in every age. And even at times when there was great laxity, there still arose great saints. Because the Holy Ghost is the soul of the church. He vivifies the church. And there is this grace, this life of grace, which permeates the church. And for those who correspond with the graces of God, they can sanctify themselves. Our Lord gave a parable of a net. He said the kingdom of heaven, meaning the church on earth, is like a net lowered in the sea and gathering together all kinds of fish. And after they have brought the net to land, the fishermen sort out the good from the bad, and they throw away the bad and they keep the good. Now, I would ask you, was that a bad net because it brought in bad fish? Of course not. The net was fine. It was a good net, but it brought in fish that were good and bad. And so in like manner, the church is good. The church is holy. And the church herself is not besmirched or damaged by the lack of holiness of an individual member. And it is a sad fact that there have been scandals down through the history of the church. There have been bad Catholics, even bad priests and bishops and even popes. But that is because the church is human. It is divine, because it was founded by the Son of God himself, but it is also human because it is made up of human members, human beings who are fallible and fickle and weak. But let us remember the importance of making use of the teachings of the church and the means of grace, that thereby we might sanctify ourselves and be a good example to those outside the fold. We should have a desire to bring others into the Catholic Church. And we will do that if we are living our faith. Our Lord said, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." We have to be a good example to others. Now, as I said earlier, there is only one church founded by Christ. And we could use what we use in mathematics, an equal sign, when you have an equation, where what is on one side of the equal sign is equivalent to what is on the other side, an equation. And we could use that analogy for the church founded by Christ being the Catholic Church. Christ founded a church. The Roman Catholic Church is that church. It equals that church. So we could say the church founded by Christ is the Catholic Church, and we could, contrarywise, say the Catholic Church is the church founded by Christ. But an erroneous teaching came in the 1960s in Vatican II, which taught that the Catholic Church is part of the church founded by Christ, not identified with it, as Pope Pius XII taught in Mystici Corporis, but rather is part of it. Well, then you're implying that other churches are also part of the church founded by Christ. But how could that be? How could there be two different churches that teach differently, both part of the church founded by our Lord? It makes no sense. It's absurd. There is only one church that he founded. And we must thank God every day for the grace to be part of that church. We are Roman Catholics. That means that when we use the term Roman, that means that we accept all the popes from St. Peter, who first set up his see in Rome, to Pope Pius XII and everything they taught. We cannot accept what is coming out of Rome now from the heretics who have taken over the church buildings and so forth because they're teaching a different religion, a different faith. But we go back and we read and study the councils and the teachings of the popes and the lives of the saints. That is our heritage. So we are members of the Roman Catholic Church, the church that Jesus himself founded, and outside of which there is no salvation. Let us pray that we always persevere as members of that church, living our faith, and that we will truly be a light to all men, leading others to the church that Christ founded. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.